This morning we continue the journey of faith with Abraham and Sarah, and we are in an interesting chapter this morning. It's chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, and I invite you to follow in God's word as we think about the blessings of waiting. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build family with her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You're responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we're looking at the blessings of waiting. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little old lady who went on a bus trip in upstate New York, and she sat right behind the bus driver, and every 10 minutes or so, she'd say, "Hey, have we reached Oriskany Falls yet, sonny?" And the bus driver started to get really irritated, and he kept saying, "No, lady, we're not there yet." Well, this persisted for hours with her asking for Oriskany Falls, and so finally, the little town came into view, and the bus driver was so relieved, he swerved the bus over to the side, and he said, "This is where you get out, lady." And she said, "Is this Oriskany Falls?" And he yelled, "Yes, lady, now get out." And she said, "Oh, I'm going all the way to Albany, sonny. It's just that my daughter told me when we got this far to take my blood pressure medicine." Are we there yet? Have you heard those words? My daughter and I have gone on a number of vacations over the past summers. We've gone a number of times to Florida, and we did a 3,000-mile trip on the Great Out West trip. And then last year we went to Canada. And there's one thing that's in common to all those trips, and that's my daughter saying numerous times, "Dad, are we there yet?" Have any parents out there heard those words, "Are we there yet?" And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it happens in our life of faith too, doesn't it? And in this morning's reading, I mean, can't you hear Abraham and Sarah, God's children, saying, "God, are we there yet?" And it's interesting because oftentimes we are tempted to take some shortcuts. And so I invite us to walk back into this story. Abraham and Sarah have had their ups and downs in this journey of faith. And last week we recounted how that Abraham, in the moment of victory when he had done things well, God had whispered again that promise of having a son to Abram. And he struggled with that. He was discouraged and he was doubting. And in that moment of doubt and discouragement, God invited Abraham to go out into the night sky and said, "Look up and count the stars." And in that moment, God said, "If you can count them," and God whispered again, "these shall be the number of your descendants. You won't be able to count them." And we said how many times in our own lives, sometimes in the darkness of doubt and discouragement, God comes to us and invites us to go out and look at the stars that only our Creator made. And said, "Look at the stars. Look up. Count the stars." And Abraham's faith was encouraged in that moment. It said that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Well, it's amazing because in the very next chapter, after God affirmed that faith, Abraham and Sarah are struggling. And Abraham might have been willing to wait, but Sarah was not. And so she suggests to Abraham, I mean, remember now, this is 10 years after the original promise. They started on this journey when Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. And so, as they say, they're not getting any younger, right? And so Sarah suggests that Abraham take the housemaid Hagar as a wife and have a baby that way. Now, to be fair to Abraham and Sarah, this surrogate motherhood was a practice accepted in the culture of that time. It was not without some problems, as you could well imagine. But they're desperate for a child, for a son. And remember, in this day and time, that a child brought not only the joys of parenthood and later on being grandparents, but a child was really the key to sort of Social Security, to Medicare. It was the one who would care for you in your old age. There were no nursing homes. And so they're desperate for a son, for an heir. And so they decide to take a shortcut. Anyone out there ever take a shortcut in faith or promises? Am I the only one? You had a promise, and you decided what you'd do was to take a shortcut. And that was your own devising. And we see in this morning's reading that Abraham and Sarah decide to take a shortcut in God's promise of faith. And what does it bring? It brings heartache and discouragement and brokenness. And I think in our own lives, many times we try to shortcut God's promises and force our own way and our own timetable. We become hurt and heartbroken, and it's not God's plan. So you might wonder this morning, I mean, why did they have to wait after all? I mean, what was the waiting all about? I mean, after all, they're up in years. Well, it seems to me there's at least two blessings of waiting that Abraham and Sarah discovered, and I think those truths apply to our lives as well. And so the first truth that I see is there's a blessing of newfound strength. You know, when we're waiting sometimes, God is at work in our lives. We're waiting, but God is working, and God is working in our lives because as we wait, we sort of find and discover new strength. And if you think for a moment about Abraham and his life, there's a time in his life where he's going to really need some strong faith. You recall that it won't be long from now that Abraham and Sarah will have a baby, and it will be Isaac, and God calls Abraham at one point to lay Isaac on the altar and to trust God in that incredible moment. And Abraham would need incredible faith, as you and I would too. And so at that time and in that chapter, in that difficult moment of Abraham's life, he needs an incredible faith. And so in this moment, I believe that God is developing Abraham's strength of faith, the ability for Abraham to trust God in the dark moments and the difficult moments of life. And I think that's true in our lives as well. There's a wonderful story that I love of this rabbi. And it happened some centuries ago. And so this rabbi took the same route to town every day. And one day as he's walking along, he sees this huge boulder. And here's God sort of tug on his heart and whisper to him that he needs to push on this boulder. And so it's a huge boulder. And so every day as this rabbi's on his way into town, he would push on this huge boulder. And day after day and week after week, the boulder never budges an inch. And so finally the tempter comes to this rabbi and whispers to him and says, why are you pushing on that boulder? It hasn't moved an inch. You're making a fool of yourself. And so the rabbi thinks that's true. And so as he's walking into town for days, he doesn't touch the boulder. He just walks on by it. But then one day he hears God whisper to him, why did you stop pushing on the boulder? And the rabbi sort of whispers back to God and says, well, God, day after day, week after week, I was pushing on the boulder, and it wasn't moving. And God whispered back, whoever said anything about the boulder moving? And so the rabbi said, well, why is this happening? And God began to show him the new things that he's discovered along the way. God whispered to the rabbi, said, look at the strength that you have now from pushing on that boulder, and now you're able to chop wood for the ladies of the village who can't do it themselves, and you're able to help them carry water in a new way, and look at how you've discovered a newfound patience and perseverance in your life. And look at the friends that you've developed along the way who stopped as you were pushing on the boulder and tried to help you push on that boulder too. And so the rabbi discovered all the new blessings that God was creating through that moment. And so in our own lives, I wonder this morning, what is God having you waiting on where God is developing your faith? God is making you stronger in your life each and every day. I think it's so much of a part of our walk of faith, isn't it? Are we there yet? Where are you maybe waiting on a financial breakthrough? Maybe where are you waiting on a new job? Where are you waiting on a new area of mission and ministry or a new relationship or a better relationship? God is having you waiting in that moment to trust Him and develop your muscles of faith just as we exercise in life, and it takes some waiting to grow in strength. So the first blessing, I think, is newfound strength. And the second blessing, I believe, is a greater, bigger picture than we could ever imagine. You know, God was working on a story, a picture, a painting of a life that was far more marvelous than Abraham and Sarah could ever imagine. A decade from now or so, Abraham and Sarah would indeed have a son. it would be a miracle, and everyone would know that it was a miracle, and that son would fulfill the promises that God promised Abraham and become a great nation. And through that nation, all nations would be blessed and all people would be blessed. And so that was so far beyond what Abraham could imagine. And in this moment, they struggled to take a shortcut, which wasn't nearly what the picture that God was painting was to be. Think for a moment about Joseph in prison in life. And Joseph had been sold by his brothers into slavery, into Egypt. And Joseph spent time in Potiphar's house, was falsely accused, and was put in prison. And I wonder what Joseph was thinking while he's waiting year after year in prison. But in the meantime, while he was waiting, God was working in a marvelous way. And so Joseph would not only be the head of Potiphar's house, but one day he would be second command of all of Egypt. God was building new strength into Joseph. God was putting the pieces in place that would need to be there for Joseph to be second command of all of Egypt. Where is God putting the pieces in place in your life so that a greater plan will appear? You may be waiting, but God is working in those moments. There's a wonderful story that Philip Yancey recalls in one of his books about Amy Carmichael. And Amy Carmichael relates in her own life how that when she was 6 years old, she used to go to school, and she had brown eyes, and all the girls that were her friends had blue eyes. And so every day she'd go to school, and she struggled with not having blue eyes, and so she'd relate to her Sunday school teacher for prayer requests that she'd like blue eyes instead of brown eyes. Well, month after month, she finally gave up on that prayer request and really kind of put it aside. After she got out of high school, went into college, she went on a mission trip to India. And it was in the summer, and she was working with the neighborhood village kids, and she had an incredible, fruitful ministry with these kids. And then one night, she was sitting with the mothers, and they were talking, and the mother said, "Well, we just want to tell you what an incredible blessing you've been to our kids in this summer, and how fruitful your ministry has been." And they began to relate how there had been two previous summers where there were girls that came from college and did a summer little mission trip, and how their ministry hadn't been nearly so fruitful. And so Amy finally said, "Well, why do you think that was and mine was successful?" And the mother said, "Well, you know, they had blue eyes and you have brown eyes, and your eyes are just brown enough that the children of the village can trust you." You see, sometimes God is working a bigger plan, and so she records in her journal about that trip to India how that God's picture that God is working and is painting about our lives is so much greater and grander than we could ever paint ourselves. Where is God working in your life today and this week and each and every day? That scripture verse that Holly shared from Isaiah 40:31 is such a beautiful verse. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." You know, it's in the waiting that we're growing stronger. I want to close with this thought, which is that Savannah and I last night were watching this movie, Breakthrough. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. It's a great movie. And a true story about this teenager from St. Louis. And he and two friends were out playing on the ice on their day off, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And all of a sudden, the ice broke and they fell into the water. Two of the boys were able to get out, and this young boy, John, this teenager, drowned there. And the rescue teams were called, and they went out there. And they managed to get him out of the water, and they had almost given up, and they took him to the hospital, and it had been more than 20 minutes since he had gone under the water there when he arrived at the hospital. And then they did CPR the whole way there, did CPR at the hospital, shocked him numerous times, and he didn't come back. And finally, they had given up, and the mother went in, and she began to pray. And all of a sudden, a heartbeat responded, and the doctors couldn't believe it. But they still didn't have any hope for this boy. They said, "Well, you know, he's still going to die." And so they did all these things, and as the hours went on, the whole community began to pray. And even the paramedics and all the emergency teams and the doctors were sort of gradually coming to pray, and even the firemen who rescued him didn't really have faith, but he sort of heard God's voice to go back and to try again for this boy. And through an incredible miracle, this boy came after they took all the medicine off him. The mother had demanded that. Then he came back, and he didn't suffer any brain damage. And it was just an amazing thing. I had to think, you know, while they were waiting during that difficult chapter, God was at work. God was putting together this story that was greater than they could ever imagine. God was strengthening their faith. And in many ways, we could never imagine the miracles that God could be working in our own hearts and lives today. What are you waiting for today? Where is God working in your life? Where is God putting the pieces together while you're waiting? That is a more incredible picture than you could ever imagine. Joseph had to wait in prison. David had to wait from the time that Samuel anointed him as king to become king more than a decade. I think of Esther who had to wait before she went to the king. I think of Paul who had to wait in prison. And I think of the disciples waiting in the upper room. There's so much waiting in the Bible, and sometimes we forget that. But in the waiting, God is working. Max Lucado once said, waiting time is not wasting time. In fact, it's time when God is at work. God is at work in us, and God is at work putting together the pieces of our life so that we can fulfill God's ministry and mission for our lives. Are we there yet? I don't know where you're waiting in your life today, but know that God is at work. God has created a bigger picture than you could ever imagine, a grander, greater picture, and God is at work strengthening you. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we do find chapters in our life where waiting. And so often in those waiting chapters we find discouragement and difficulty and doubt. So Lord, help us like Abraham and Sarah to discover that shortcuts are not the way. It only brings hurt and heartbreak. But the true path is waiting on you, trusting you that in the waiting that you are at work in our lives, strengthening our faith and putting together the pieces of our lives in a way we could never imagine that is grander, bolder, more beautiful, because you are the God of all creation and you are the God of us. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.